Good morning. This is Kevin Butler from your Chicago Bears, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning. Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for December 19th, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Santa Claus. Ho, ho, ho.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This is it, Chip. We are in the holiday season. It is the final night of Hanukkah tomorrow night. It is the winter solstice on Thursday.
More light for us to see, Steve.
Eventually, yeah. Eventually, it will stop being dark at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Festivus is on Saturday,
which we can air our grievances.
That's right. I love Festivus. I love having all these holidays on my calendar. We go out for bagels on Saturday. It'll be wonderful.
Festivus, the new holy day.
Festivus for the rest of us. That's the way to do it. Christmas Eve comes on Sunday this week, and then Christmas Day, the first day of Christmas, on Monday.
Well, I'll be tracking the list of good boys and girls, and we'll figure out if we can get everyone something.
We'll get it. Everybody's got... There's so many things. We've got it. Whatever it is.
Well, that's one of the commercials that I saw this week. I think church put it on, but anyway, regardless, it was this guy waking up, and it was like, oh, we have electricity, oh my goodness, it's everything was like a miracle. And he was opening, oh, we have cereal for breakfast. Nice. everything is just a joyous present for all of us.
There you go.
Film at 11
brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. And when I say movie of the week, I truly mean movie of the week. You and I got a chance on Thursday night, 7 o'clock show, the first show available. You and I got a chance to see Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
It was only packed to the gills, Steve.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of excited people there.
A lot of costumes, a lot of lightsabers.
A lot of people were cheering as the ads were going on.
Yes.
As the movie started,
the Lucasfilm logo got a cheer.
As the movie was ending, we got lots of cheers.
Uh-huh.
And we got cheers in the middle of it when things happened.
And a lot of laughs. There's a lot of laughs in The Last Jedi.
A lot of comedy. In fact, this is very different than a George Lucas film.
Yes.
That shouldn't scare you off. I mean, we watch different James Bond films, and mm-hmm. people have different takes on James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Star Wars, and obviously very Disney. And very much the Marvel Universe has joined it.
Yes. I believe that the comedy really comes from the lessons that Marvel has learned from the Marvel Universe.
Particularly Guardians of the Galaxy.
Uh-huh. There's some Guardians of the Galaxy moments in this one. Quite a few, actually.
I'm going to hold, Steve, while you tell us all about this.
Yeah, let's not spoil everything. And in fact, let's very carefully say, we are not going to spoil this movie.
Exactly.
There is a lot of joy to be had in Star Wars The Last Jedi, and spoiling it is just not fair.
Well, the winter break starts for a lot of families. A lot of families are going to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of great movies coming up, and Star Wars is going to be one that's going to be high on the list for a lot of families to go see.
This movie is going to make a lot of money, and it's going to make a lot of people really happy. I enjoyed this film a lot.
In fact, most people we spoke to were overwhelmingly happy with this film. This mm-hmm. film is a very fast, action-packed.
Yes.
Lots of characters.
Non-stop action-packed ride is about the best non-spoiler review that I can give here. Something happens, and then something else happens almost immediately.
Well, you get about 2.5 hours of mm-hmm. this film, and it's over before you recognize the time.
Right.
So I think that with that being said, I don't think that most people are going to be disappointed. In fact, there was a young man that we were talking to.
Yes, one of my students who happened to be in the theater.
And when it ended, I mean, you could just see this is what you want Christmas morning, by the way.
Absolutely.
There was just true joy on his face.
Yep.
A lot of excitement. And this is a reminder of what Star Wars meant to me when I was a kid, mm-hmm. when I was his age. And you would go see this movie, and you get real excited. And anyway, we can talk about some general feelings on the film. Obviously, you enjoyed the film.
I enjoyed the film very much. What I wish that there was more of was more of an emphasis on the faith and the hope aspects of the story of Star Wars.
Star Wars has always had a Buddhist feel to it.
Yes.
And
it's in there.
It's there if you look for it. Mm-hmm. It is part of the Force. It seems like that they have backtracked a little bit on the midichlorians.
maybe there's no mention of midichlorians, and maybe the ideas of the Force have changed a little bit now that Disney's involved. But
sure.
It's still there.
So we can all be part of it, Steve.
That's it.
That's what we can all be part of it. I am going to be a little critical on this film, mm-hmm. because on reflection of it, I certainly during the time I was watching it, nobody is going to say, "Oh, this is not enjoyable." This mm-hmm. Truly, if you're a Star Wars person, you're going to get the greatest lightsaber fights. You're going to get the wonderful characters that they breed together and all that other stuff. But what I will be critical about is there are a couple of filmmaking things where we get a leap of a person is one place, and then the next moment they're at a different place.
The timing.
And there's time that has to get between this. There also just seems to be some real strange ways of setting up. There's a spaceship here and a spaceship there, and all the events are going to take place at some point. Mm-hmm. And I'll just kind of like, well, we got so many hours, let's go do stuff that would take a lot longer than that.
Maybe we should do some grocery shopping in the middle. Yeah, the timing is really troublesome in this when you really think about it. But when you're in the movie theater watching this movie, yeah. The action, the adventure of it is just fine.
Let's just say Luke had to do a lot more training than Rey.
Yes.
It just came very natural to Rey.
Well, it's the 21st century, and the kids learn different than we did.
And with all the things that ended up happening, I'm not really... there's no real cliffhanger on what's to happen in the next movie.
I don't know.
It's like a blank slate. They say it's a trilogy, and it's a trilogy in the sense there's three movies.
Right.
But I'm not sure there's an over... there's a story arc that's for all of it.
Because if you remember, The Empire Strikes Back had one of the biggest cliffhangers of movie history. Like, Vader's his father? No.
Spoilers, no Steve. Way. Spoilers.
Right, 1979. No way. There was actually a lot of speculation that he was lying.
Sure.
The years in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, there was a lot of people who were saying, no, that couldn't possibly be true. He must be lying. We don't have that here. We don't have the cliffhanger moment that we're going to talk about for the next 2 years.
No, we have characters have gone their separate ways, and they're going to come back, and you really could write any story you wanted to from that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we're the next film will start off 20 or 30 years in the future.
Maybe.
If the next film starts immediately. But we're really not left with anything other than, hey, whoever's the next writer, do what you need to do, but right. Stay within Disney's model.
Right. How wonderful was it to see Carrie Fisher on screen? There was a moment.
She did a good job.
When she was on screen for the first time, I had a moment where I went, oh, there she is. There's our princess. And yeah, she did a really good job acting in this film.
She's a leader, Steve.
Yeah. And Mark Hamill. I swear Mark Hamill needs to have an Oscar nomination for his acting in this. I enjoyed his acting in this that much.
Well, I think that Mark Hamill is going to have much more than an Oscar. While the accolades would be nice for him, but I really think that he's going to be an ambassador for a lot of events for a long, long time.
I think so. Yeah, he's so much fun on stage.
Well, I think so. I think that you know, this is not the Luke that he imagined.
It's the hero that we need, not the hero that we want.
Well, and on that doesn't mean that he's right about that.
Right.
What it does mean that is the conversations he had with Lucas at one point on who Luke is,
mm-hmm.
and what Disney has chose to do with his character. Yeah, these are different characters.
I agree.
But it doesn't really matter. The point is that the excitement was there. It seemed to me that a lot of people's needs were met.
Mm-hmm. The nostalgia pieces. I enjoyed all of the pieces of nostalgia that were thrown in there for me, the middle-aged guy who grew up with Star Wars.
And to be very critical about it, I think that reflection of it will not be as kind.
Mm-hmm.
But if I rated this movie... on the 100-point scale, with 100 being the highest, 50-55.
Wow.
So that's a lot different than what we're getting from Rotten Tomatoes, who is at a 94%.
Yeah, I don't know that it's a 94%. As a fanboy, I'm going to go with a 75 out of 100.
Okay.
It did hit the right buttons for me without the big looking at the storyline afterwards. The time, at the moment, it was the right movie.
Lots of joy. There's no doubt that the fans who were there watching it experienced a lot of joy.
And more than I expected. I expected this to be a much darker tale. It was not as dark as I expected it to be.
Steve, there's balance, Steve.
I agree.
There's balance to the Force.
I agree. And that's about all we can say. Maybe we'll do a panel. Maybe we'll do a spoiler panel where we can actually talk about this. I'm really itching to talk about this movie with people.
All right, so that was not the only thing you watched this week, Steve.
Yeah, look at that. Look at me watching two movies in 1 week.
What?
Wow. Christmas is coming, and I'm going to watch a lot of movies next week. But this week, I got a chance to see The Big Sick. This has been a movie that has been on my list for a long time. It came out in theaters in June. This is an Amazon original that they put into movie theaters, and they made $55 million in the movie theaters on this title.
Now, I remember we put this on our list of things we wanted to see, and you can watch it through Amazon Prime. Tell us a little bit about the story.
This is a true story. A stand-up comedian from India who finds a girlfriend who is not from India, and his parents are trying to find him a wife, because that's how their culture works, is the parents find you a wife. And he falls in love with this girl who is not from his culture, and then she falls into a really life-threatening illness that the doctors have to put her into a medically induced coma. And he decides that he's going to stay with her through this ordeal, even though she's unconscious.
Well, that sounds exciting, Steve. I couldn't imagine anyone wanting to miss this.
It's a beautiful tale. The interaction between he and her parents is what really takes over at that point. Okay. Ray Romano plays the father, and the interaction between the two comedians is really well done, really emotional, really priceless.
And not to give away the ending, they're living together as a couple right now.
Yes, this is a true story where these two people really did go through this, and they really are married and happily married and putting their life story into this movie.
So this sounds like a great film to watch over, because family's around, to watch over the holidays.
Yes, this is a really good story about family, about love, about commitment, and all of those nice things that make up, or should make up, your holiday season. This is family friendly enough. There's certainly a love story here, but it's not in any way inappropriate.
Sure.
This is a good one. You should really take a look at this one.
And I'm going to leave it with this. Not that money means everything, but this actually did real well in the box office for an independent film.
Yes. Compared to all of the other films of Sundance from 2017, this one beat all of them like sevenfold.
Okay.
So if that gives you any indication, this is an independent film that did very well in the theaters, and now it's available because it's an Amazon original. Amazon picked it up after Sundance.
How wonderful.
And now it's a part of your Amazon Prime.
Wonderful.
You got a chance to finish off The Punisher on Netflix.
The Punisher, Steve.
Yeah.
Which was the great big release about a month ago. And I watched it during that time. I'm certainly not binging the way I used to. This is a very...
That's why you're skinnier.
Exactly. I do a little workout and do a little watching. This is a 13-part series.
Yeah.
That's a long series.
That's a lot of commitment.
It is a lot. It's 13 hours, or roughly 13 hours. The Punisher we talked about is an anti-hero. He actually is a villain. I'm going to go ahead and just say he's a villain. He fights other villains.
Right.
He may have a good heart, but his actions certainly are very violent. And in fact, I'm going to say this for any parent who, or young person who's willing to watch this. This is going to be a lot more intense than many people will want to sit through. And the intensity that I'm talking about is, imagine holding a person down on the ground and taking a brick and just smashing it on somebody's face.
Yeah.
Imagine tying a person up and torturing them. And that happens multiple times in this series. Now, I don't want to say that this is unwatchable, but what I'm saying is, does a human mind really need to watch torture?
For entertainment. That's the part that bothers me. I don't find joy in that. I don't find entertainment in that violence.
All right, so on my 100-point scale, I'm going to say this is 60, 65 out of 100. Of the Netflix Marvel shows that they've had Daredevil, they've had Jessica Jones, they've had Iron Fist, and Luke Cage. This, I would put this right behind Daredevil Season 1, Jessica Jones, probably right after that, okay. Probably two or three. This is actually very good, with the asterisk being that we're watching some torturing, and that's very difficult for me as a person, because I that's so not me.
Right.
Although I know it happens. Watching it for entertainment, as you said, it seems to be a tough place. So I liked it in the sense that it was a good story.
Okay.
I thought it was too long. 13 episodes was too long for this. This could have been done in 9, maybe a little bit less. And so good stuff.
The good news is there's lots of other movies opening this week. It is certainly the week for movie releases.
There's not another time of the year that has a better variety of good movies
for everyone.
Oh my goodness.
Everyone has a movie that they can choose from this list. It starts with The Greatest Showman. This is a musical.
It stars Wolverine, Steve.
Of course it has Hugh Jackman as the star. It's a musical movie.
I thought his name was Logan.
Well, he's got a lot of names. What's the Les Mis?
Jean Valjean?
Yeah, he goes by a lot of names. This one is all about P.T. Barnum. This is a beautiful rendition of the life of P.T. Barnum and the idea of the showman who can make something not real seem really important to us.
In the trailer, it says, what's show business?
Yeah.
I just made it up.
Yeah.
And he's talking to Zac Efron. This is a true musical.
Yes.
There's going to be singing and dancing in it. It is about P.T. Barnum, the greatest showman of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, this one looks like a real winner. The fact that they're putting it out on Christmas week tells me that they believe in this story.
I think so. This looks really good.
Yeah, it looks like a real good one. There is Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle is opening this week. I reviewed that a couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely, and it got great reviews from us.
Mm-hmm.
And this looks really, really good. It's got a great cast. It looks like it's definitely meant for families.
Families, especially teenagers, will enjoy all of the penis jokes and all of the adventure of Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
And those all open tomorrow, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So then we also have movies opening up on Friday.
On Friday, we have The Darkest Hour, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. It opened narrowly, but it's opening wide on Friday.
Mm-hmm. That it was opened, I think it was for Thanksgiving week in a few select theaters.
Mm-hmm.
This is about Winston Churchill.
Yes.
This looks like a really, really good film.
Gary Oldman as Winston Churchill. Okay, you're going to get my money for this one. There's no doubt about that. There's one called Downsizing.
This looks sort of a comedy.
Yeah.
Stars Matt Damon and Kristen Wiig. And the premise of this, as I saw the trailer, looks like that you can take your body and you can shrink it down to Ant-Man size.
Uh-huh.
And your money becomes exponentially wealthier.
Because you can afford doll size clothing that's much cheaper than your clothing, a doll size house that's much cheaper than your house, and all of the resources that you need to stay alive are reduced significantly.
Exactly. But once it takes place, it cannot be reversed.
That's right.
And the twist of this is that Matt Damon's character says, and Kristen Wiig, they both agree to do this, but the wife changes her mind at the last minute, didn't tell the husband, so he's going to go and become a miniature man in this miniature community.
Uh-huh. And Matt Damon walking around in doll houses with giant things that are ridiculously large compared to their bodies. This looks really interesting.
They had a party with a fifth of vodka.
Right. And they're pouring pitchers.
Exactly.
Because they're thimble-sized pitchers. I look forward to this one. If you haven't seen the trailer on this one, I encourage you to look at the trailer. I don't know how this story's going to go, but
I don't know. It just seems like David Byrne would have everything to do with this.
There you go. That would make perfect sense. Also opening on Friday is the movie for our wives to go to while we're going to go see Downsize.
I've got two daughters, Steve.
Uh-huh, them too.
And obviously, this is made for them.
Yes. This is Pitch Perfect Part 3, the third Pitch Perfect movie. My wife is really ready for this. She loved the first Pitch Perfect.
This is kind of like on the John Hughes films from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Not only do young people watch these, they watch them multiple times.
Right.
And it's got this great cast. Lots of funny interaction with it. And the premise is that they're all bored with their jobs, I think, and they all get together to go try to tour.
Yeah, and they tour.
Go to Europe.
Of course they go to Europe. Of course. It's European a cappella music.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Well,
look, kids,
they get made fun because they're a cappella.
Parliament.
Aka what?
This is going to be good. I have high expectations. My wife will see that on Friday.
It'll be a little dirty, as the other ones were, yeah. Too.
Just enough. Just dirty enough. Now, if you want to get a little bit more in the adult comedy sort of realm, then there's a movie called Father Figures that's coming out on Friday.
Steve, I think that's a comedy. I don't think that is that gets anything other than a comedy.
Yeah, this is pretty ridiculous premise here.
Whoa. It's got Owen Wilson, man.
Owen Wilson and...
Ed Helms. Are going to go find their father. and they talk to their mom, who looks like mom had a lot of fun.
Yeah, so she says, I don't really know who your father is. It could be Christopher Walken. It could be Ving Rhames. It could be Terry Bradshaw, who I think is actually playing Terry Bradshaw in this. He's at least playing a football player.
Well, the joke is they get to these people and they tell them what a wonderful time they had with their mother, and they're like, whoa,
slow down. I do not want to hear these stories about the 70s. Yeah, this is just a silly idea of a comedy with a lot of Will Ferrell style funny stupid things happening.
Yeah this looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, and eventually, yeah. When I see it, I'm sure I'll get a few laughs out of it.
Yeah.
Now, not everybody's going to be able to get to the theater on Friday, Steve.
Right.
Is there anything we can watch on streaming services like Netflix?
Netflix has you covered. No problem. There is a new movie called Bright. This is Will Smith.
I know Will Smith.
I know Will Smith really well because I own every one of his albums. Thank you very much. Will Smith is playing a cop in this one, but he's a cop who lives in a world where there are fairies and orcs walking around. And he... Yeah. Okay, just stick with me for a second.
Okay.
He gets a new partner, and his new partner is an orc, and they are going on an adventure trying to solve some sort of first of all illegal thing, but second of all some sort of mystical thing.
Maybe it's kind of like Men in Black. Maybe it's not.
It sounds kind of like Men in Black. But I love Men in Black.
He's stretching himself, Steve. He's stretching himself. Tommy Lee Jones was not available for this one,
so they hired an orc. I look forward to this one. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but I am encouraged by what I've seen Will Smith do and his acting chops.
Not everybody celebrates Christmas, Steve, and theaters are still open.
Yeah.
And so anything opening on Christmas Day that looks of interest?
Oh, yeah. Did you not go to the movies on Christmas Day? That's not a thing that you did in your family?
Steve, we weren't allowed to, man.
Oh,
we had family things we had to do.
Okay. See,
and traveling.
In Florida, where I celebrated Christmas with my Jewish grandfather, we went to movies on Christmas Day often.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Okay. So there is a movie opening on Christmas Day. It's called All the Money in the World. Some of you may have heard about this movie because there's a twist to this tale of making this movie.
Not just the movie.
That's right. This is the story of John Paul Getty and the multi-billionaire lifestyle that he has and the potential problems.
He was the wealthy among wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was that all of his relatives certainly did not share his wealth.
Right.
And they were getting kidnapped and things like that had happened. That's the premise of the story, is that the family members are being going through extortion.
Mm-hmm.
And John Paul Getty obviously has nothing to do with them.
Right.
All right. So, but that's the twist that we're talking about is originally this film was with Kevin Spacey as
Kevin
a star.
Kevin Spacey was John Paul Getty.
And in fact, we have the trailers for mm-hmm. the movie with him. But obviously, Spacey is unavailable at this moment.
Right. Please leave a message.
Right. He may not be starring anything. They took all of his parts and they refilmed them.
With Christopher Plummer as John Paul Getty.
And he's going to sing Edelweiss later on.
Merry Christmas.
No, anyway, he replaced Spacey.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I mean, the scandals that are going on in Hollywood are so serious that, you know, who knows if Spacey will ever be able to work again.
Right.
But this film was scheduled to come out, and they basically cut and paste him.
They found a way. The editing magic. Now, oh, look, it's Christopher Plummer, everyone. This still looks like a good film. I think this is still going to be a good
film. This looks like a really good film.
Mm-hmm. But I think it probably would have been a better film with the acting chops of Kevin Spacey instead.
It could. Leonardo DiCaprio would have probably been my choice to replace.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I mean, certainly they're not getting the story... Right. The story is what's important. And with the new trailer for it, they pump up who our second star is, which is Marky Mark. And
he doesn't actually like to be called Marky Mark anymore. That's Mark Wahlberg.
Well, Mark Wahlberg, the guy from Boogie Nights. Actually, he
say hi to your mother.
Nobody picks better movies than Wahlberg. I think Wahlberg has picked a lot of, I wouldn't say they're classics. What I'm saying is he's very careful in what he picks.
I think Damon is the one. Matt Damon is in everything, and he picks the right. I mean,
but Matt Damon didn't do Ted, Steve.
Okay, Ted was special. Ted 2 was not. But Planet of the Apes with Wahlberg? Bleh.
I didn't mind that.
Bleh. Moving
damn
on.
Dirty Apes.
So All the Money in the World is coming out on Christmas Day. You can go see that one as well. Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You are in the Christmas spirit in so many ways. You picked up a book called Jacob T. Marley. This is by R. William Bennett. It was written in 2011. It's the story of Marley from A Christmas Carol, right?
All right, yes. And so let's give two parts to this. If you like Christmas episodes and like us talking about Christmas books, you know, this is our fourth year, so we have other episodes from the previous year. You can go and you can listen to our basic reviews of Christmas books. This is this year's Christmas book, the 2017 edition of Too Much Scrolling.
Very nice.
This is the story of Jacob T. Marley. Jacob Marley story is not really covered other than he died. That was the beginning of the first
words of A Christmas Carol.
Oh,
yeah.
Exactly. There's that much is true.
Yeah.
And we know the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, but Marley was the partner. And he was the person who passed away. So what we're doing is we're going back and we're learning a little bit about who Marley was. And I'll let you know a little secret. Marley was Scrooge before Scrooge. Scrooge was Scrooge. It was Marley only better, is what we learned. So if Marley was Palpatine, Steve, then Scrooge would be Darth Vader.
A young Padawan named Scrooge.
So what we end up learning is that Marley was very much a person of contracts. The contract stated this. You know, one of the things that he would do is lend money out. And then if you did not follow those terms, rent or something didn't come due, he would evict you or basically follow the terms. Now, Marley also had, he has a middle name. His middle name is Thelonious, which is based on an uncle who was very much a person, maybe like Fezziwig, who was to Scrooge. He was a very generous man. He had a very good name. This is how Marley got his start. He was named after this gentleman. He certainly didn't live up to his the namesake that he was given. But he was very efficient. And he eventually found his apprentice. Now, Scrooge was in the middle still dating his young lady. He had not broken off that engagement. But it was through a conversation he had with Scrooge where he sits down and says, you know, women can be a distraction, Steve. Women can be. And family matters, obviously, can pull you away from what you're really good at.
Mm.
And so this obviously had a profound effect on how Scrooge, who was already going to the dark side, Steve. Exactly. This very much had an effect on how Scrooge set himself up. Now, they had their arrangement. Eventually, Marley dies. Marley is visited by a ghost, interestingly enough. And he is at that point given the chains and the shackles that he is going to be roaming the earth on, because, you know, his business was supposed to be mankind, Steve. Mm-hmm. And while I'm sure he helped out many people, anytime there was an opportunity to find kindness, that certainly was not going to be allowed in Marley's view of the world at that time. As Marley roams the earth, he has more conversations with this ghost, and the idea was that he could change Scrooge. So the message that Marley did not receive, Marley could be a person who is a catalyst to helping Scrooge not make the mistakes, as they saw it, that Marley made.
Like a force ghost.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. Hmm. He would mentor him as a ghost. Hmm. Show up maybe as a doorknob or something.
Good
you
idea.
Never know. So what ended up happening was Marley took on the chains that Scrooge was carrying.
Ah.
And so, you know, his burden doubled or tripled or whatever it is. And he watched Scrooge go through his ghost. He was a person who was off camera, but basically was watching Scrooge and seeing if he would change. Marley would be judged on what Scrooge's action would be eventually.
It's a good story. I'm really encouraged by your telling of this tale.
Well, I think that you will enjoy it. You know, A Christmas Carol is not a very long book. You could sit down, you could read it in an evening. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's what Dickens used to do. He used to sit down and he would read it to an audience.
Right.
Now, this book is certainly not very long either. It's something that you can get through probably in a day or so.
Okay.
And it's an enjoyable book. It certainly isn't very heavy. It's very family appropriate. So if you've read A Christmas Carol many, many times, mm-hmm. and it's as tired a story as I was thinking of it before reading this book, mm-hmm. I think that you'll find it refreshing.
A little perspective. A little different way to look at things.
Exactly. And after I finished it, I didn't really have time to sit down and read the entire Christmas Carol, but I listened to the Orson Welles radio drama.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's in the show notes. You can take a look at that. Orson Welles and Lionel Barrymore.
Lionel Barrymore played Scrooge many, many years on the radio and also in person at theaters. And this is an hour-long dramatization of it. They dropped some parts of it, but the essence of it is there. Mm-hmm. You may not know Lionel Barrymore as Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, wow.
And so it's very interesting that Scrooge and Mr. Potter, you know, have a lot in common there, Steve.
A lot in common. Very similar story between It's a Wonderful Life and Scrooge in that aspect.
Yes. Huh. Anyway, this is, I was able to revisit. I had a fresh perspective on it again. I enjoyed it. And very, like I said, A Christmas Carol and The Nutcracker, I've seen so many productions of it. Mm-hmm. I've read so many things that it's, when I say tiring, it's not that I don't enjoy it.
Right.
It's just, I've just seen
it
so many
times.
That.
Right.
Exactly.
So that one's called Jacob T. Marley. It's by R. William Bennett. You can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. You know, it's the holiday season. There's so many things to talk about. We can talk about net neutrality, and we can argue about that for an hour.
Sure.
Let's not.
What we should say is that the rules have been switched back to 2014 uh-huh. rules before they passed this net neutrality. What does that mean to the consumers? Well, a lot has been written about it. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, we don't know what it's going
and
to be.
And that's the scariest part, is what we don't know.
What I will say, not trying to comfort anybody on this too much, but what I will say is that if the rules change too much on one side, they can always re-regulate it.
Yeah.
But the other part is that we've had so... Imagine the regulation coming through when we were getting AOL mm-hmm. through the telephone. We don't want internet through the telephone. Many of us have fiber optics now. Mm-hmm. You know, the majority of the world has it through their cell towers. Many of these plans right now have unlimited data. When we start getting the next movement of technology, it looks like it's going to be coming through the air. Already, Google is the Google Fiber cities. They're trying to speed that up, and they're going to have it's going to be just coming through the air to you.
Hopefully. Maybe. And who knows?
Verizon,
what's going to happen?
AT&T is working on that right now. All I can say is let's let it unfold and just hope that it's going to work to our benefit. So far, the companies have been able to give us more and more and more. Certainly, more has not been the challenge that we've had recently. When I say in the history of the internet.
Right. Yeah, we'll see what happens. That's the motto for 2017.
But let's give us some good news, Steve, that we know is good news.
Good news, everyone. Amazon is selling us whatever we want, and they're finding ways to find good stuff to sell us, and they're doing it in much cheaper and more efficient ways.
All right, so let's just think about it in a couple of different ways. You know, iPads are certainly very powerful.
Yes.
And they cost a lot of money.
Yes, there is a premium for those devices.
So you could sell them anywhere from, say, $400 to $1,000 is what we're looking
at. Or more. Yeah. There's iPads that are more than $1,000.
And just depending upon your needs, you could pick those out.
Right.
Now, what we're finding is not just Amazon, but a lot of companies are bringing out alternatives to that. But Amazon has actually been very good at the Fire tablets.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a Fire tablet from anywhere from like $70 to a couple $100.
Remember that when they were on sale for $50?
Regardless, I mean, that seems like a very nice. So if you're like me and you use it to read the Kindle app,
mm-hmm.
or you use it to watch Netflix or Amazon Prime stuff.
Comixology.
Sure. any types of things like that.
Yeah.
These are really inexpensive products mm-hmm. for us. Now, we're also seeing it in things like, I'm going to use Apple again. So Apple TVs, you can buy Apple TV for $150, $200.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Roku's, and in fact, Roku's right now being given away with a service I just saw recently.
The Roku Sticks.
That's correct. Uh-huh. And also the Fire Sticks.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that for $30.
Right.
Now,
that's a big swing.
Compare $150 to $30.
Right.
We live in a beautiful time. And I think that you can always go out and you can buy the top of the line Cadillac.
Sure.
Okay. Those are always available to you. But, you know, there's always the Kias and the Hyundais that are available to us also. And if your goal is, I just need to have this available to me.
Yeah.
We live, this is what capitalism is supposed to do. Drive down prices, give us more for our money,
mm-hmm.
Allow us to, you know, what do we have now? We have leisure time to watch things that we can binge watch some crazy 13-hour show.
Right.
This is part of the goodness of our current lifestyle right now.
Choices.
And my hope is it gets better and better and better. In fact, there was a similar article that we don't have in here that was printed this week that was actually talking about clothing in the same way that young people, millennials would be that group, are choosing to not work with name brands. They're buying basics. So they'll go to Amazon and buy a basic a polo shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll go to Kohl's and buy a t-shirt. Or they'll go to a discount place and buy this or that. They're looking for quality, but they don't necessarily have to have the brand names.
Right.
And so that is a very different approach than, say, the 1980s when it was,
status.
I was going to say Wall Street. Movie came out and you got these power suits and the women had lots of
shoulder pads.
Holy cow. And big hair.
Ah, okay, now I'm excited. I love shoulder pads and big hair. Let's go back to that.
Big pinstripes.
What we're going forward into is a world of delivery robots and drones delivering things.
All right, so with that, we're going to have a few challenges. And San Francisco looked like this week that they were going to address that early on. They made a limit on how many of these delivery machines could go up and down the sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
If you could imagine this in the worst way, that you would basically have to, like chess piece, you'd have to like weave your way in and out.
A sea of mouse droids just up and down the sidewalk while you're trying to walk.
Or for your fancy walkers, you'd have to sashay through it.
The idea of technology is always ahead of legislation is something that some of these places are trying to get ahead of. They're saying, look, if this happens, we want legislation in place to keep this in some sort of semblance of a reasonable thing here.
With this, that being said, and that is absolutely truth, in the sense that there could be a time where there are so many delivery things coming down the highway, not the highway, going down the sidewalk, that you're unable to navigate that safely.
Mm-hmm.
The risk of this is to prevent the type of evolution that we would normally get, like, oh, well, in order for this to work, it'll only go down this one stream,
right,
of the sidewalk. Or, you know, we don't want to legislate things with the idea that we don't allow the innovation to take place, because
right,
we're all benefiting from these innovations.
But you can imagine a sky filled
with drones. In
San
Francisco, the food comes to you.
We're getting there. We're absolutely getting there with between the drones flying in the sky and the mouse droids delivering your stuff on the sidewalks. We are getting there, and we have to think about what do we want it to look like.
Well, think about the things that have happened this week or this year. It's very likely we're going to have the first big trucks,
mm-hmm,
you know, driving through your neighborhood.
Yeah.
That are going to be electric this coming year.
Yeah.
This coming year.
This year. It's happening.
It's very likely that we're going to have buses that will arrive that will not have drivers.
Yeah.
We really are moving fast.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see how it worked. In fact, California this week also has already started looking at how to change the laws. In the old days, when we were driving up and down the highway, we would tax fuel consumption. Well, when we have all electric vehicles, or we all have vehicles that have a lot of mileage available to them. In fact, there's a BMW 7 Series, the great big one, can get 60, 70 miles to a gallon.
Wow.
The use of fuel goes down. Well, they still need to maintain those roads. And so they're looking on ways to be able to switch that. Maybe we're going to be charged per mile going forward. You never know. Never know. So the future is coming upon us, and we're going to have to react as soon as it arrives.
And maybe being a little proactive is okay too. So we've got this week in front of us. We've got so many things that are coming. We want to say Merry Christmas to all of our listeners who are celebrating Christmas this week.
Send us a note on something that you would like to say is the best of this year.
Oh, we're going to do our favorites of the year next week?
Yeah, we'll start we'll start lining up some stuff. I'll start posting some things that were wonderful from this past year. But if you've got something you want to share with us and that we should share on our podcast, let us know, because we would like to share that too.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I love doing the favorites list. Our top things of 2017, our favorite stories, our favorite books, our favorite movies.
We'll have to see if we get Tal Klein back.
We can get Tal Klein to come in. We can get J.F. DeBoe to come in. We can talk to Michael Albright. And,
sure.
And we have so many friends that we've joined together in this spirit of giving and Christmas. I'm just filled with spirit, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week.
Yeah, next week we'll have a show after Christmas on Boxing Day. Let all your servants off for the day and listen to Too Much Scrolling next
exactly.
Tuesday. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. You can send us an email with all of your Christmas wishes at TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio, and every day of the week. And go to our news site, news.TooMuchScrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Santa Claus. Ho, ho, ho.
We'll see you in the future.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.